Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're going to head to our guest line and bring in our good friend from Barstool Sports, number one fan of Kendrick Perkins and vice versa. That, of course, would be Dan Greenberg. A.K.A. Stuhl Greenberg, and that sounds like, who's that in the background now?
Oh, that's my 4.5-month-old little St. Bernard puppy. She's jazzed for tonight, Art Kent. She can't even contain herself.
Well, that's great. I remember your old dog. May he rest in peace. So I'm glad there's another dog in the Greenberg household. Very nice to hear. It's a girl, so does she have a Celtics-related name or what?
She doesn't. It's little baby Bea. I feel like you have to earn that. That was, something that came from the Celtic gods in previous versions. So this one, hopefully she's as lucky, but she has to earn those pinstripes, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely. And so do these Boston Celtics, who tip off tonight. Very glad to have you on here tonight to talk about this, Greeny, because you and I have had lots of conversations about various teams over the years, but we haven't had a chance to talk about a team in which Jaylen Brown was the man on that team and someone with all NBAs. You just heard from Chris Mannix right there, singular all NBA aspirations now without the specter of Jason Tatum in front of him. And the sacrifices that he's talked about making all these years. What do you think is the ceiling this year for Jaylen Brown?
I think if you were to picture an ideal season for him, it would be just like what we saw in Game 5 against the Knicks, right? He was efficient. I think he had 12 assists, low turnovers, elevated the play of those around him. And so that's what I'm looking for, right? He now has to assume the role of, the guy whose job it is to now lead them. But that doesn't just mean you average 30, you get yours. It's now a requirement that he fills that role of, can he be the tide that raises all ships? And I'm excited to see it. He's talked about wanting that challenge and wanting that responsibility. He'll have to do that with a much, less talented roster than I think we're used to around him. But every year he's sort of shown up and proved he could elevate his game. So I'm excited to see how he tackles this challenge for sure.
Do you think the roster around him is the biggest hurdle towards him making that leap? Or is it a part of his own game that maybe still needs some work or what?
I think it's going to be a combination of both, right? There's obviously a big difference of having a pick and roll and passing it off to Porzingis or Al Horford, and now you're doing it to, Chris Boucher and Xavier Tillman is different. There's no Jason Tatum to play off of and have space there. So it's going to look different in how they play and how he produces, but I don't think that should stop him from getting to his spots, taking care of the basketball, making good decisions, as an offensive initiator. That shouldn't matter, but, I just don't know if we're going to see the same level of team success knowing the guys taking the shots now off those passes are a little bit of a drop down from what we're used to.
Well, who do you think is going to be appreciated more this year, Jaylen Brown for what he does or Jason Tatum, the void that Jason Tatum leaves? What do you think is going to be more significant?
I think it's going to be a nice reminder of just how important and impactful Jason Tatum is in every aspect of the game of basketball, right? Like, we've sort of just grown accustomed to a certain level of play. And I think now that he's not there, you hear people are talking that, their level of play won't drop off as much. And I just think people need to understand you have a unicorn as your franchise player. That doesn't mean other guys can't be good. That doesn't mean they can't be effective. But all the little things that you may not have realized Tatum was covering for or responsible for, I think you're going to get an idea of that this season, because even if, you know, they're great offensively, well, what are they going to look like on the boards? How are they going to defend? What are you going to do when you have a, you know, the entire world knows that Jaylen Brown is going to get the ball? Can he still be effective and score like we know Tatum could do throughout his first 8 or 9 years, whatever it's been? So I think it's going to be a nice reminder for those who maybe, not, I don't want to say take him for granted, because obviously we all understand how special he is, but maybe for those who maybe didn't realize all the little areas that Tatum was having a major impact in, even if it's not in the box score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
We're talking with Dan Greenberg, Barstool Sports. Greeny, this is a big year for Joe Mazzulla. I think we all agree. Having to adjust the game plan for a new kind of roster, a roster that, as you said, doesn't have Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis to deal with on the outside and inside. A lot less experience, a lot less size as well when it comes to those guys in the middle. How does Mazzulla navigate around that?
Well, I think you saw a little bit of it in the preseason, right? They're going to up the ball pressure. They're going to up the intensity. I think if they can keep their turnovers low to try to, you know, make teams beat them in the half court and not just give away easy baskets, that'll help sort of compensate for the dip in talent. But all I want to see from Joe is, you know, the big picture stuff, we've already answered those questions. What I need to see is, can he take a guy who is maybe a young, unproven player and grow and develop them into a piece that can play valuable minutes for when Tatum is back and we're into the next iteration of this roster, right? Like, I don't look at his season of, if they don't win 50 games, he's a fraud, or if they are a sixth seed, that means he underachieved. I just need to see, can you grow and develop young players who don't have a ton of NBA experience, who've never been asked to play rotation minutes, over the course of 82 games, can you develop them into real players and real pieces? Because remember, the Celtics are still in the first apron. They still have an expensive roster. It's very, very important that their young, unproven players, whether that's Walsh or Ugo or Josh Minot, like, they need to find one or two hits for when the next iteration of the roster is being built.
Now, Greeny, we've had an entire offseason to sort of think about this and maybe place it in the proper context. Last season, the playoff exit to the Knicks, the way that series went, even without the Tatum injury, obviously that was awful too. But before that, it was really, really an ugly series. You put that in context with some of the other ones, losing in the finals to Golden State, some of those Miami series, the series they lost to the Bucks in the Kyrie year. You look back at some of the other playoff exits. Where do you put that? Where do you rank it for this group with the Knicks last year?
I personally wasn't as annoyed. Obviously, for me, my own personal hell is the 2010 finals. You know, losing that in game 7 will always be one of the worst losses of my life.
All right, but for the Tatum Brown group, let's keep it to them.
All right, I would say it didn't annoy me as much as the Miami series, just because that was built off such fugazi shooting in those first two games. This was more, they just got out-executed, right? They were horrific from three in the first couple games. We know that. In game 2, in the fourth quarter, they missed every shot inside the arc that they took for the last 6 minutes of that game. On the other end, we just watched the Knicks out-execute them, get offensive rebounds, make big-time baskets. So it was frustrating, but not as annoying as that Miami loss was, just because we all saw, once the shooting regression hit the Heat, the Celtics won 3 straight and probably win that series if Tatum doesn't get hurt on the first play. Against the Knicks, I just think they were outplayed on both ends of the floor and did not even deserve to win that series, even if Tatum didn't get hurt.
Yeah, but that's what makes it worse for me, is the fact that that was supposed to be their dynasty, right? They had just won. They'd finally broken through. They were supposed to be that team that, in the age of the aprons and all of that, was going to repeat and look like an actual dynasty, and they lose to the Knicks. Like, that one, That one may have hurt more to me than the Miami one because they hadn't broken through yet. Now it was time for them to really show everybody what they're about, and they lose to a Knicks team that they owned all year. That, I don't know. I feel like you and Celtics Nation just didn't absorb that blow quite the same way I did. I don't know.
I think it's mostly because, for me, it hurt more before they had gotten over the hump, right? Like, because you didn't know, would they ever get there? Is this team going to make it through? Are they going to break up Tatum and Brown? Once they got the title, I don't want to say you're playing with house money, but it was almost like, I know that they're good enough. They just played like garbage and got out-executed. I can live with that. What I can't live with was, you know, seeing Jimmy Butler celebrate on the garden floor and then not know if we would ever even get back to another finals. Once they won it, it's annoying, but the pain of it I could deal with just because I spent the next, I don't know how long it's been, 4 or 5 months, just watching game 5 of the finals over and over again to drown that pain. So for me, it was the frustration before they got over the hump, just for the uncertainty of what may have lied ahead.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. I was reading to Brad Stevens and what he was saying to Jay King about, you know, getting a scrappy team together because they were all in the second apron and they had this big bill coming and all of that. And it just sort of gave this, I don't know, it made it seem more finite to me. Like, yeah, that was the chance and it's over and now we got to start back at square one if we want to get back to that place. And I just feel like it was a real missed opportunity, you know?
I mean, yeah, certainly was. I mean, they shouldn't. I mean, they blew 220-point leads. Yeah. There's no real defending that. But I do think Brad is right, where we knew when they made all those trades before the title year that team had a shelf life. We knew you had 2 years in the second apron, and then there were going to be tough decisions. I don't think any of us wanted them to break up their core, so we all knew just by doing the math what changes were coming. I think there were certain things, like maybe Al comes back if Tatum is healthy. You can work around that, but he's right. This is essentially a new starting point for them, and that's why it's so important that they're able to find these young players that can be hits, because as soon as we get to the summer, if they don't, you know, if they're under the second apron, they'll open up ways to add to the roster with win-now talent, and you can propel this thing forward.
All right, last, before we let you go here, two-part question. Number one, when's the last time you picked up a basketball? And number two, what could you have contributed to that media game against the coaches?
Probably a little bit sooner than Michael Jordan did, but in terms of contribution to that team, I mean, listen, I don't know if they're looking for some, you know, Bancroft School Eastern Independent League talent, but my guess is probably not much. You know, maybe a couple fouls. I'm 38, so I'm wildly out of shape. So, you know, I don't know how much I would be able to give, but you know, they did call me the motivator back when I was in high school,
right,
or something like that. So if for round two they'd like some EIL experience, I am more than happy to oblige.
All right, well, maybe next year when that happens. I saw the Nuggets did it too. Everybody's trying to copy Missoula now. That's Dan Greenberg, Barstool Sports. Greeny, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Always great to talk with you.
All right, Arcane, have a good one tonight.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.